That will be a glorious time when we are privileged to see him and to look upon his face. Those who are children of God, who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, those who have obeyed the great I Am, will one day be privileged to see him. That will be a glorious experience of a perpetual nature. Good to be here this morning, and it's good to see each of you here this morning. It's always good to be back home. Indeed, there is no place like home. I bring you greetings from the Church Street Church of Christ in Blakely, Georgia. That's where I was last Lord's Day. We had a meaningful and exhilarating good time. I was glad to receive the report that you also had a great time on last Lord's Day, both morning and night. Brother Michael Triplett, let the hammer fall, that he preached two meaningful lessons that undoubtedly scratched where you were itching. And he motivated and encouraged, edified the whole congregation. And the quality of his message was validated by the kind of responses that were made to it. So I want to express my appreciation to Brother Triplett for filling in for me on last Lord's Day in such a wonderful way. I'm grateful for the way he proclaimed the word in my absence. We invite your attention currently to a familiar passage. It's more familiar to some than it is to others. The passage that was read by Brother Eric Prowl a few minutes ago, Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. We'd like to use as the specific title of our lesson, The Ex-Leper and Me. What do you have in common with the ex-leper? Can you identify with the ex-leper? Is your zeal and enthusiasm commensurate with that exemplified by the ex-leper? Turn, please, to verse number 40. We're going to consider this particular passage. In verse number 40, the Bible says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." I see a number of reasons to be thankful for the leper in this particular verse. The leper was our patient. And our patient had a serious problem. Leprosy was a dreaded disease. It was a contagious skin disease. For the most part, for the severest types, there was no cure. One who had leprosy was rightly isolated, quarantined from the rest of society, because nobody wanted to be close to or next to a leper. Nobody wanted to run the risk of contracting this deadly, debilitating disease. So he had a serious problem. You have a lot of lepers in the world today. Lepers, of course, of a different kind. There are lepers in various parts of the world. I've heard particularly about some in the Cross River State of Nigeria. But I'm talking about another kind of leprosy as it pertains to us, a deadly disease called sin. It's more deadly than actual physical leprosy was. This particular disease, this particular leprosy that I'm referring to as sin, it will destroy you not only externally, it will destroy you not only internally, but it will also destroy you eternally. It's deadly. It not only ravishes our bodies and our minds and our souls and spirits in the realm of time, but its deadly effects also reach the realm of eternity. This leper with a problem had a serious plea. And everybody who has a problem, everybody who has a disease, should be pleading to somebody for relief from that disease. This leper came beseeching, which is a word that means begging. He was imploring, importuning the physician. That's Jesus. And to give you an idea or some insight into his character, when we look at his posture, it speaks volumes. He came kneeling down. That signifies a spirit of not only humility, but also submission. You know, you have some bold folk these days. Even folk who are diseased, they are bold and unbowed and unwilling to kneel, unwilling to submit. You know, I've heard of individuals who are infected with HIV and who have full-blown AIDS, but they still exemplify a spirit of arrogance and defiance against the great God of glory. That is pathetic. They still rebel against and denounce God our Creator. But I can appreciate this leper. He came in a kneeling posture. Not only can I appreciate that, but I can also appreciate his faith, his confidence in the Lord. He said when he came, if thou wilt, you can make me clean. I don't know if you'll do it or not. I believe you will, and I know that if you want to, you can do it. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. What the leper saw in Jesus was something that he possessed himself and something that each of us possesses. We have free will as free moral agents, agents of God. We have volition. We can decide to do what we want to do if we will. So we can say to each other, if thou wilt, you can be faithful. You have to want to do it, though. If thou wilt, you can share the gospel. If thou wilt, if you want to, you can treat your wife like God wants you to treat her. If you want to, that is. If thou wilt, thou can be obedient to your parents. It's just a matter of whether you want to do it or not. If you will, you can bow in humble submission to the Lord Jesus who died on the cross of Calvary for your sins. But some of us are stubborn. Some of us are cantankerous and rebellious. Probably not any of y'all, but I know some folk who are. Every now and then, I get a glimpse of a fellow in the mirror who can be that way. But he had confidence in the Lord. He had confidence in the possibility, in what was possible. He knew the seriousness of his disease, but he believed it was possible for the Lord. And he said, Lord, it's not left up to me. You know, I definitely, incontestably would see to it that you cleanse me, but it's not left up to me. You know, there are some things that are beyond our control, beyond our poor power. But he was looking at the Lord. So he said, if you will, if you want to, I know you can do it. You can make me clean. Isn't that wonderful? We need to be apprised of the possibilities. God can do some things for us. The Lord can do some things for us. If, it's not a matter of if he will, he'll do it. But it's a matter of if we will. The Lord said, if you will submit, if you will obey, if you will trust, I have wonderful things in store for you. But it's if you will. A lot of us are depriving ourselves of untold blessings because we will not. We will not submit to the Lord's will. We are in a position as children of God to receive blessings far beyond your most extravagant dreams if you're willing to comply with the stipulated conditions that are given. It's possible. There are so many things that are possible. Not a matter of if God wills, but if we will. You say, is it possible, Brother Jones, for Hart Street to grow? Yes, ma'am. You mean we can actually grow? Exactly. Only if thou wilt. However, Consider the response of the physician, the pity and the power. Verse 41, Jesus moved with compassion. Yeah, he was the physician, see. As Brother Keeble used to always say, the doctor who never lost a case. Whatever kind of doctor you need, he is that. You need an ophthalmologist? He's one. You can't see a clear future? He will open your eyes that you might see. You need a cardiologist? Jesus is one. Ready to heal the broken heart. Is your heart broken? Has your heart been broken? Is your heart aching? See the divine cardiologist. Dr. Jesus, the physician who is going to cleanse the leper. He can cleanse you as well. Jesus moved with compassion. When you think about compassion, sympathetic pity, and concern for the sufferings or misfortune of others, Jesus knows how to sympathize with us. Jesus knows how to pity us. And he looks upon us with pity, with compassion, even with empathy, and not just sympathy. You see, sympathy is feeling sorry for. Empathy is feeling sorrow with. And we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Just as he looked upon the leper with compassion, he looks upon us with compassion as well. He pitied the poor leper, and he put forth his hand, touched him. You know, there are some folks we don't want to touch. Well, he might contaminate me. I might catch what he's got. I'm very careful when I go to a certain KFC in Middle Tennessee, because they're interested in saving trees, not the poor clucker. And so in the bathroom, this is something, in the bathroom, they don't have nary a paper towel anywhere. They have those accelerator air dryers. And it wouldn't be so bad, Gervais Brown, if the door opened to the outside. But now the door opens to the inside, has a handle on it. I don't want to touch that knob. I just wash my paws. And I hate to have to take my suit trip with him. Open it like that. But I was in such a bathroom just not long ago, and there was another fella in there. He washed his hand. He didn't even worry about drying them. He grabbed that handle and opened it. I said, man, I had already dried my hands. So I immediately took my foot and put it in the door and held that door open. I didn't have to touch it. I don't know if the last person who touched it had HIV, leprosy, double pneumonia, or what. I'm afraid. And I don't be
than reaching my hand. How are you, Brother Jones? I'm all right. Yes, sir. See, anybody else touching the leper, they would have been made unclean. Anybody else touching a person with a deadly, contagious disease would have been contaminated. But see, Jesus not only was not defiled, was not rendered unclean, was not contaminated, but Jesus reaching out, touching the leper, it cleansed him. Jesus cleaned him up, cured him immediately. He touched him. Sometimes people crave a touch, and some people who are not contagious, they want you to touch them. They want you to touch their hand. They want you to hold their hand. In a lot of instances, you can. There's something that is healing about a sensitive and compassionate touch. Jesus, in response to the man, said, "I will. Be thou clean." He can say the same thing to you. I will. Be thou. Jesus said in John 15:3, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Jesus is still in the cleansing business. He's still in the healing business. What Peter describes in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 is still operative even today in the 21st century. "Seeing you have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." See, the Lord will clean you up, and then your heart will be purified. Jesus said, "I will, be thou clean." Note the promptness in the purification process. Verse 42, "And as soon as he had spoken," immediately. Wasn't next week. This wasn't just the first treatment. When I went to my regular ophthalmologist, he prescribed some Tobradex eye ointment for me. And he told me, "Sir, I want you to put some of this ointment in each eye every night. Do it for 3 weeks, then come back to see me." People receive a series of treatments. After I began my initial treatment procedure for colon cancer, I had to go back a number of different times. And now I'm taking a non-conventional treatment process, or involved in a non-conventional treatment process, and I take my medicine every morning, every night. I take an injection every week, and things are looking pretty good. But Jesus didn't have to heal the leper in a multitude of treatments. Immediately, as soon as he had spoken, instantaneously, the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. He was made pure, made whole. But now Jesus does something here which might boggle the minds and imaginations of some. Jesus gave a prohibition. Verse 43, and he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. Verse 44, and said unto him, notice now what he said to him. He said, see thou, say nothing to any man. Don't utter a word. Don't tell nobody. Don't say nothing to nobody. He issued what judges sometimes issue. They tell the members of the jury, don't you talk to nobody. Don't talk to your mama. Don't talk to your daddy, your brother, your sister, and definitely don't talk to the news media. I am here now issuing a serious gag order. Told him, said, don't you say nothing to nobody. That's hard for some of y'all. For some of us, revised version. Yeah. Sometimes you have something that's so good, you just can't hardly keep it, like an old refrigerator. Can't keep nothing. Jesus said, don't say nothing to nobody. But a strange thing happened. The ex-leper began a spontaneous one-man advertising and promotional campaign, publicizing the compassion and power of Jesus by enthusiastically telling his own remarkable story of purification and cleansing. He just couldn't help it. Had a case of what I call can't help it-itis. He made public proclamations everywhere. He went out, began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter. And I really don't think Jesus really held that against him. That does not diminish my respect for him. He was just so excited at what Jesus had done for him that he felt like he had to go tell folks. You know, the man in Mark chapter 5 who had been possessed with the demons, after Jesus cleansed him, when the folks came back, they found him clothed, sitting, and in his right mind. And he came to Jesus and he begged Jesus, let me go with you. You've done so much for me. You've helped me so much. You've gotten rid of my demons. Let me go with you. Jesus said, no, no. Go home. Go home. Tell your friends. Tell your folks what marvelous things I have done for you. See, he didn't issue him a gag order. He told him, yeah, go tell him what I've done for you. Question, has Jesus done anything for you? Has Jesus made a real difference in your life? If he has, then are you going to be bound by a self-imposed gag order? See, the ex-leper's gag order was not self-imposed. Jesus told him, don't tell nobody. What did he do? Man went and told everybody. I thought the Lord said don't tell. He did say don't tell nobody. But he went and told everybody what the Lord had done for him. And his advertising campaign, his promotional campaign, was wildly successful. Boy, if we could launch that kind of campaign. He was so successful in promoting the power and compassion of Jesus that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city. but was without in desert places. But that didn't stop folks from finding him. The Bible says they came to him from every quarter. They found him. Thanks to the ex-leper. But now, what about me? Jesus said to me and said to us, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Tell everybody about what I've done to affect their salvation. Tell everybody, because I want all men to hear it. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 3 and 4, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. As we mentioned Wednesday night, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us or to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We are divinely mandated not to keep it to ourselves. We are mandated to share it with everybody. With your neighbors, your friends, your co-workers, your relatives, everybody you come in contact with. Here's the rub. Jesus told us to tell everybody. Oftentimes we tell nobody. Well, I just don't have time. I don't know enough. Folks are not interested in the gospel these days. People are so irreligious. People are already in their various churches or already involved in their various religions. There's no need for me to try to share the gospel with anybody. But I thought Jesus said, tell everybody. We need to keep the main thing, rather than getting caught up and bogged down in the thick of thin things. The main thing is to share the glorious gospel of Christ with those who are lost. He told the ex-leper, don't tell anybody. The ex-leper told everybody. Now we flip the script. He has told us to tell everybody, but too often we don't tell nobody. We need to change that, don't we? We need to resolve that we're going to give priority to sharing the gospel with everybody. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They can't believe unless they hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Why not exemplify the Spirit demonstrated by the ex-leper? He told everybody. And he was told to tell nobody. But we are told to tell everybody. Let's do it. Let's keep people out of hell. First and foremost, ourselves. Maybe there's somebody here today who is not yet a child of God, who is not yet a member of the family of God, member of the church of Christ that Jesus died for on the cross of Calvary, for your sins and mine, making our salvation possible, you included. You are pre-approved for salvation. And of course, you need to act on this offer while you have the chance. You know, sometimes you get offers in the mail. You are pre-approved for this American Express or for this Visa card. And you need to respond to this card, this offer, you need to respond to it by March 29th. It's going to be withdrawn after that. They're trying to motivate you to go ahead and make an application for it too. They want you to have it. But they don't want you to have it nearly as much as the Lord wants you to have salvation. You're pre-approved. They've already did your background check. They know who you are. They know how you've lived. They know what your sins are, but yet you are pre-approved. And if you comply with the stipulated conditions that are given, you will receive all of the benefits and all of the blessings that appertain thereto, provided that you act before the expiration of the offer. You say, well, when is the offer expiring? Well, in reality, we know it's expiring when you expire. What you mean when I expire? When you die! You have to accept the offer before you die. Well, I don't know when I'm going to die. That's right. That's why you need to accept the offer today. Now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Harden not your hearts. Obey the Lord today. You might not be here tomorrow. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He arose triumphantly from the grave on the third day. Did that for you. That's good news. Because when he died in your place, in your stead, on your behalf, in your interest, for your sins, that you might have salvation. You have to believe that good news with all of your heart. You have to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God, be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, and you can arise to walk in the newness of life, brand new life. Will you take the offer today? Because you have been pre-selected and pre-approved salvation. You say, well, Brother Jones, I've been baptized already and I'm a member of the Church of Christ, but I hadn't been living right. I hadn't been faithful. I hadn't been doing what I was supposed to do. Well, that's all right. If you're willing to comply with the Lord's stipulated conditions, he'll straighten you out. He'll forgive you again. He'll demonstrate compassion toward you. All you have to be willing to do is to repent of your sins.